This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
And then if he's wrong, don't come back and say, "I told you so, you should have done what I said." Well, that don't make him happy, and that'll cause a divorce. You have the right to tell him what you want and have him listen to you, but then when he makes a decision, if it's not the one you wanted, and if it was wrong, then don't say nothing. God's going to hold him responsible, not you. He's going to hold him responsible. So you don't have to worry. The pressure's not on you, it's on him. And he don't need you beating him down too, because God's going to be enough. He can take care of it. But if you, his wife, are beating him down too, you need to just be quiet. You know, that's when the Word of God says, study to learn how to be quiet. And I know a lot of women that need to study to learn how to be quiet. Because if they had been quiet, they'd still be married. You know, but they wasn't quiet. They wanted to do it their way instead of God's way. And so that's why many of you don't have a husband today, because your husband didn't like you telling him what to do. So after you tell him what to do in a loving way, you let him communicate that information. And when he makes a decision, just praise him. And if he makes a bad decision and things go bad, don't come back and say, "I told you so." You know, say, "I'm praying for you, honey, that the Lord will help you." I mean, what I'm telling y'all is the truth. You know? Huh? You know, always, you women, don't ever try to tell your husband what to do. If you have not realized yet that God made that man a certain way and you cannot change him. You know, I mean, some of you girls say, "Well, he's not what I want right now. He don't do this, but I know once I marry him, then he'll listen to me." Well, let me tell you, if y'all don't know that answer by now, let me clue you in. If he don't do it for you before you get married, he's certainly not going to do it for you after he marries you. That's just not going to happen. Once he gets you tied in this circle, this covenant of marriage, if he was not good to you before, he sure ain't going to be good to you now. You know, that, so don't think you can change him. So if you hadn't got one that is perfect before you marry him. I mean, Cheryl, she said, "Before I married Thurman, I thought he was perfect." She said, "I married him, then I found out he wasn't perfect." So see, I mean, I got problems and flaws like everybody else. See, but she found out that I was not perfect. You know, but I found out she wasn't perfect either, see. She may be a whole lot closer to being perfect than I am, but she ain't perfect either. You know, so nobody is perfect. And we need to realize that. And that's why we need to work together and love together and play together. And you know, when you do that, married life can be lots of fun if you learn these things and you work together. It can be lots of fun. For those of you that are married, that have learned these things, you enjoy living with your mate. I mean, you know, Cheryl and I have a great time. We just have a great time together. Don't we, honey?
Yes.
I thought for a minute she wasn't going to answer that. I thought,
"Well." Yes, we have a great time, but I know how to go to the
third. Oh, yes, she does. Yeah, when I don't do what she wants, she has definitely learned how to take me to the third heaven. And the Lord has learned to move. But, I mean, it really is. We do have a lot of fun. You know, we go lots of places and we do have lots of fun. But once in a while we do have to hit a little bump in the road too, you know. So every once in a while something don't go just exactly right. Don't please her right or don't please me right or whatever. And if I want a bump in the road, all I got to do is get up in the morning and wake her up at 9 or 10 and say, "Hi, honey, how you doing?" And there's a bump in the road. You know, she don't want to be woken up at 9 when she goes to bed at 3. You know, so I don't understand why, but you know, that's just the way she is. So I've learned, don't wake her up in the morning. Just get up, crawl out of bed, go get a shower, and go to work. Leave her there. Let her wake up when she does. She is a wonderful little ball of fire. You know, she comes running over, we have a great time. So, but anyway, you have to learn what makes your mate tick. And you can't change them. You can't change them. You got to learn how to do it God's way. Now then, back, I don't know how we got off on all that. But we somehow we got off on all of this. We were in 1 Samuel chapter 12. I forget what verse even. I think verse 18. Yeah, verse 18. So Samuel called to the Lord and sent thunder and rain, and all the people were terrified of the Lord and of Samuel. Now, not only were they terrified of the Lord, but they were terrified of Samuel. Why are people afraid of men of God? You know, real men of God, people are afraid of. So many people are afraid of men of God. Why? Because they realize you're connected to Him. And if they do anything to you, something might happen. You know, it's amazing. Then it says, because the people were terrified of the Lord and of Samuel. Then they said, pray to the Lord your God for us or we will die. They cried out to Samuel, for now we have added to our sins by asking for a king. Then he says in verse 20, don't be afraid, Samuel reasoned with them. You have certainly done wrong. But make sure now that you worship the Lord with all your heart and that you don't turn your back on Him in any way. Now, if you've offended God today as a born-again Christian, do we have to run off and hide somewhere in fear? No, praise God. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can come and say, Lord, I messed up. I made a mistake. Yeah, maybe I asked for something stupid, or maybe I went out and did something wrong. Maybe I said something wrong. Maybe I hadn't been going to church. Maybe I hadn't been tithing. Maybe I hadn't been doing any of these things. But Lord, please forgive me. Will He forgive you? Sure He will. But what does He tell you to do? Start doing what's right. Start going to church. Start tithing. Start worshiping Him on a regular basis. Don't go back to your old wicked ways, because that's sin again. And that will really bring on something serious. And it will bring sickness and disease to your house. If you're a Christian and you don't worship and praise God, if you do not worship and praise Him, I guarantee it'll bring tormenting spirits into your life that you will not like. You will bring them in. You know, you cannot live the abundant life outside of worshiping of the King. You cannot. You know, it will not happen. It's that these people couldn't do it either. And then in verse 21, he says, don't go back to worshiping those worthless idols. In other words, how often do we do those kind of things? I mean, we come to church, somebody prays the prayer of faith for us, and we get healed or whatever, and man, we go right back out the next day, and we go back, instead of tithing, we go back and keep our money and go buy lottery tickets with it. Hoping we're going to hit a million. God says, don't buy lottery tickets. That's gambling. He says, you want to be blessed? Give your money to me. Find somebody on the streets that needs something. Give to the poor and the needy. Where's God? First thing He tells you, wherever you go to church, you are to tithe. You are to give Him the first 10%. Then He says, if you'll give to the poor and the needy as you see them on the streets, He said, I will repay you with good interest when you give to the poor and the needy. But He says, if you'll give, wherever it is, He said, give and it shall be given unto you. This is a principle of the new covenant. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom, because with the same measure you use to give, shall it be returned unto you. Luke 6:38 and on. So, if people say, well, I'm not going to be a tither, okay. Be cursed. It's your choice. God gives you the privilege. But I ain't going to go there. You know, I told y'all, some of y'all, here a while back, well, it's been over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I went and spoke to a big church in this metroplex on a Saturday morning, and there was 100+ elders, teachers, deacons, and pastors. They had 30 pastors in that church. It's a big church. I spoke in that church from 9 o'clock that morning till 2 o'clock that afternoon with a 15-minute lunch break. And I didn't get to eat because everybody was wanting to talk to me. After teaching 5 hours, when I got ready to leave that day, they gave me a donation from that church for my 5 hours, $5,000. I'm telling you, that's not bad. $1,000 an hour. You know, I never did make that kind of money in the secular world. Never did. But that next week I took, I didn't tithe. $5,000, what is a tithe off of $5,000? $500, right? No. I took 4,000 of the 5,000 and sent it on to another ministry. 4,000 of the 5,000, I immediately put in the bank and wrote a check and sent it to another ministry. And you know how much money came into my ministry the next 30 days? $40,000. Does it pay good dividends, do it God's way?
Amen.
I'm telling you, you cannot give the king. Now, I could have given $500, and I could have been blessed on $500. And maybe $5,000 more would have come in, because that's all God required was 10% of that $5,000. But I gave 4 of the 5. And so He poured out a blessing upon me, and that next month was the biggest month the ministry had ever had. $40,000 worth of money came into the ministry to pay all of our bills, to buy everything we needed. It just took us over the top. Yeah. You can't outgive God. But you know, when I first looked at that, I said, Lord, wow, they gave me $5,000 for speaking one morning in one church. I said, what a blessing. And I thought, I put all that in the bank. Of course, it's ministry money. I don't take a salary from the ministry. I put it all in the ministry bank account. And I said, Lord, how much of that should I pass on? And He didn't say a word. I can just hear Him now saying, son, that's up to you. What do you want to give me? I said, Lord, I love You so much. I'm going to give You 4 of the $5,000 and we'll send it to another ministry. And so I wrote him a check and sent it to him. And he says, good. I'm watching and I'm keeping record. Wow. Within the next 30 days, $40,000 came into the ministry from all over. The mail, it was just awesome, the checks that came in that month. Isn't that amazing, Sharon, how all that works? Given it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. Because with the same measure you use to give, will it be given unto you. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive the King. So that's just like the other day when I said, Lord, we want to build our own church now. I've got the land. I'll donate the land to the ministry. But Lord, it's going to take some money to build this building and a parking lot and everything else. And already one man has given us a donation to start on this church of enough money to buy the building and to pour the slab.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.